Certainly is good to see everyone today. It's good to be here with you. I know I say that every Sunday. I mean it every Sunday. But this week it means a little bit more because we've made some improvements. It's good to see Jan here with us today. It's good to be together. And just a really good opportunity for us to sit back and realize how blessed we are and see God working in our lives and see at what it means to be together, what it means to be with each other. You know, this week has been an interesting week, to say the least. You know, what do you say? All I can say today is I'm grateful. And I'm grateful for many reasons. But obviously, now we are ultimately grateful because Jonathan's surgery went well. And that's what we wanted. That's what we were hoping for. That's what we were looking for. And afraid Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and even up to Monday morning that we weren't even going to get a chance to even talk about surgery. Because he was not cooperating. Yeah, he controls his heart, you know that. You know, he wasn't cooperating, being a typical teenager. But things kind of picked up, and so we got to the point where we could have a successful outcome. You know, thank you for your prayers, for all your well wishes, for those that text, those that called, those that talked about how you were thinking about him. And words can't ever express how much that means to us, to know that people were praying for him, that people were praying for the situation. You know, it feels very powerless. It feels very powerless when someone you love is in the hands of someone else. You know, we've all been there. We've all been there or will be there at some point where someone we love is being wheeled to surgery or been taken back for a procedure, and you say bye, and you just have no control. Yeah, it's a powerless thing. But you know what? Knowing that so many people care, and knowing that so many people were with us, it made it so much easier. And so my thoughts today that I'm going to share with you are things that stick out to me after this week. Things that, to me, stand out as important and shows what being a Christian is all about, why it's so important. First thing I want to talk about this morning is prayer is very powerful. You know, prayer is powerful. You know, it's one of the most important tools that we as Christians have that others just don't have. You know, we have prayer. We can talk to God. We can make our requests known to Him. And we can pray for each other. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And I think it's in these moments, it's in these times, that we kind of understand a little bit more about what that means. You know, it's kind of difficult to think about praying for your child to have some episode. But Monday, that's about all I was doing, was Let's find a resolution. Let's move this thing along. Let's see something happen. And let's get it fixed. But boy, when we're in a situation where we want a resolution, it's easy to remember to pray without ceasing. But that's something we need to do all the time. We need to pray to God all the time. Make our requests known to Him. And spend time in prayer with Him consistently. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. He wants to hear from us. He wants to help in our lives. He cares. And He wants to do things with us, and He wants to hear from us. But you know, there was a realization that had to sit in, that did back in 2014, and again could have Monday, was that when we pray, We must be prepared for the answer we receive. We must be prepared for what happens and be prepared to move forward regardless if we get what we want or not. I don't know everybody's situation that was on the same floor as us in the hospital, but I can assure you that there were probably some that would leave that hospital in a different frame of mind than we did. When we were down in the waiting room at the hospital, and we were giddy because we got good news. I can't imagine what some of the other people in the room were either anxious about or waiting on. Because there were some situations there that were very much, very concerning. You know, we have to be prepared and understand that God has a plan for us regardless if He fixes what we want fixed. He can still, with our lives, make things well. It reminds me of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 7, where he says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Here's Paul, servant of Jesus, an apostle, who gave his life to the service of the gospel and ultimately paid the ultimate price. But he had a problem that hindered him. Now, why would you want to hinder one of your great servants? But the answer to Paul was very simple. "My grace is sufficient for you." You know, it's important to understand that God can use us regardless if everything is exactly like we want it to be. We have to be prepared sometimes to hear yes, sometimes to hear no, sometimes to hear maybe later. But we have to be prepared when we pray to God to understand that we may not always get exactly what we want, and be prepared to handle whatever we have and knowing that He is with us. You see, prayer is powerful because there's peace in knowing that God hears us. He listens. He hears us. And He has a plan for us. That plan may not always match exactly what we want. But if we give ourselves to Him, no matter what happens, He helps us and He leads us. Prayer is powerful. Something else that stands out to me is we got to have the right perspective. We got to have the right perspective. You see, it's hard not to think about the physical things in life, isn't it? The physical is what we deal with. The physical is what's in front of us. The physical is what we feel. For a faithful Christian, life is about more than the physical. We should have a different perspective, a different outlook, a different way of thinking about life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, it says, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." You see, it's all about perspective. How do we look at things? How do we look at life? You know, when we're dealing with physical illness, we're dealing with tragedy of some sort, we're dealing with difficult times,
We pray to God and we understand that prayer is powerful. We want God to fix the problem. We want God to heal. We want Him to be there and to make things right and to make someone healthy and to put us back. I think we usually pray our normal walk of life. You know, we want to be right back to where we should be. But as a Christian, as a faithful Christian, we should know that there are things that are more important than our physical health. And as we look at life, we have to understand that there's something that's even better for us. It's hard to get to this point. It's hard to get to the point where death is not the scary thing. Illness is not the scary thing. It's just a transition to something better. Notice what Paul says. In this tent, verse 2, we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. And then he says in verse 4, not that we would be clothed, but that we would be further clothed so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. We don't think of it that way a lot of times, do we? We think of death. We think of physical things. We think of not being able to do what we want. But Paul talks about it in such a different perspective. He says, what is mortal may be swallowed up, not by death, but by life. We have so much ahead of us. So much more in store. So much better than what we see today. I think Paul's perspective is put best in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 21. He says there, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to part and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. That's hard to make that statement if we're not spiritually mature. That's a tough one. Because we cling to what we know, don't we? We cling to the physical. We have to be prepared that if that's not the answer that we get, or if death is imminent, that's a good thing. For a Christian, that's a good thing. That's how Paul looked at it. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's why a Christian looks at things so much differently, and that's why it's hard for me to understand how people who aren't Christians deal with difficult times. There's no hope. There's nothing to look forward to. There's nothing to cling on to. There's nothing to reach out to. Being a member of the Lord's church is so special. And one of the reasons is because we have people we can reach out to. And we have the Lord who wants to be part of our life and He cares. Prayer is powerful. And we must have the right perspective, because ultimately we realize that God is good. God is good. He's good to us in so many ways. For us today, as we sit here in this assembly, can we really count the blessings that we have? Can we really think of all that God has blessed us with? It's hard to consider. He's so good to us and continues to be good for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. God is good because He cares. He cares. He legitimately cares. How many people in your life that you know care very deeply for what's going on. We can think of some people in our life that care. But how many people outside your friends and family really care? Really and truly care. We don't get the feeling that our leaders really care, do we? We seem like sometimes that they're detached from us. Those who lead our country and lead our state. Sometimes we feel like they don't really get it, do we? That they don't care about the situation that we're in. And we can kind of understand because they've got a lot going on. But our Creator, who is above all, He cares. He legitimately cares for us. God is good because He cares about the situations we're in. He's good because He's given us the church. He's given us the church. He's given us each other. You know, we're part of the kingdom. We're part of what belongs to Jesus. But one of the great benefits of being a part of that kingdom is that we have one another. You know, it's hard to live without a church family. It's hard to understand how much you'd be missing if you didn't have a church family. God knew what He was doing, didn't He? He gave Jesus for our sins. He knew we needed that help. He knew that we could not get there on our own. But He also knew that we needed help. We needed fellowship. We needed brothers and sisters to walk with us as we all head toward our ultimate destination. I don't know how people who aren't part of a church family, I don't know how they deal in times of difficulty, in times of trouble. It's got to be harder. It's got to be difficult. God is good because He saves us, but also because He left us the kingdom that we can be a part of. God is good because He's patient with us. He's patient with us. You know, there are times when I'm not very patient. Not at all. There's times when I want things to be a certain way. And I know exactly where that comes from. As we sat in the hospital waiting on Jonathan's surgery, it becomes even clearer to me where that comes from. That comes straight from my father. He's not very patient either, is he? He was ready every moment to know what was going on. And he was ready every moment for things to move forward. And then after it was over, he was ready to go home. I understand where that comes from. Sometimes we want things to move fast. Sometimes we want things to get fixed and get fixed now. But you know what? What if God was that way with us? I expect you to get it, and I expect you to get it right now. I'm glad He's patient. And every day that we get is another day He extends His patience towards us. He allows us to be who we are, but He gives us the instructions in His Scripture to help us get better at what we need to be. He's patient with us. And ultimately, today, we can't talk about God's goodness without talking about what He did to save us. What He did to reconcile us to Himself. As we think about what God did, we know that He loves us. In verse 16, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." How much did God love us? Enough to give His Son for us. To put His Son on the cross to be our sin. Which one of your loved ones are you willing to trade for someone else's life? Who are you willing to sacrifice? Which one would you give up? Now, if you're siblings, you can't answer. Sometimes we want to trade our siblings. But truthfully, who you want to give up? Who do you love so much that you're willing to take your child? Say, here, be the substitute. That's how much God loves us. That's how much God cares. And that's how much God went to show us how much He wants to be with us. We can't help but understand that God is good. As we think about these things this morning, it's important to understand that we will face hard days. There are times where we will face tough decisions. Being a Christian makes it easier. Makes it much easier. Doesn't make the situation simple. It doesn't make things enjoyable. It doesn't make things like we want it. But we have such a different perspective when we come at it as a Christian. We look at things from a Christian perspective. Our perspective is very different. But it's necessary. Because ultimately, as we think about these things, heaven is the goal. That's what life is really all about. This is just a stop on the way. It's a stop on the way. Our life is just a small portion of who we really are and what we're really about. Eternity is forever. And so as we are here, we should be preparing for our eternal destination. And as Christians, that dominates our perspective. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to do so. It changes the whole outcome. It changes the whole outlook on life. If you've heard the message of Jesus, believe it. Repent of your sins, confess that He is the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism, having your sins washed away, being put on course to live with Him. And no matter what happens here, it doesn't matter because it pales in comparison to living with Him forever. Maybe here this morning and maybe life hadn't been exactly like you wanted. And you know, sometimes when life doesn't go like we want it, when God does not fix what we want fixed, some people can have a faith issue. Some people can fall away. Some people can begin to doubt God. Thankfully, He's patient with us and understands that we will have those times and ultimately wants us to be part of His family forever. What a great day it is to be here, to be together. And it'll be an even greater day if there's someone here who has a need. And we can help set that right. So if you have a need this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Let's go.